Turn in God's word tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Preached on this text a couple weeks ago in Edgerton because it's our family visitation text for this spring. We'll read the whole chapter tonight. Keep in mind that in the previous chapters, Paul spoke to the Galatians about justification by faith alone, based on Christ's work alone. So now we read of the response that the people are to have, how they are to live in their daily life, their daily walk. We begin at verse 1. This is the word of God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect, no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So far do we read God's holy word. The text is verses 16 through 18, and I'll read those verses again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Galatians needed an admonition to walk in the Spirit. Paul wrote Galatians to believers in the churches in Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, cities that Paul had visited on his first missionary journey and where churches had been established. These people had heard the truth about justification. The truth that one is righteous before God based only on the work of Jesus Christ at the cross and by means of faith. They knew it. They looked to Christ for all their righteousness before the Lord. They were no longer under the law, that is, they no longer had to obey the law to be righteous before the Lord. They saw that. They knew it. They were free to obey the law now in thankfulness for salvation. The problem for the Galatians, though, is that after Paul left, they had great temptations to turn away from true freedom. Some people called Judaizers were trying to influence them. Judaizers were those who taught that one had to obey the Old Testament law, including circumcision, to be righteous before the Lord. And they were really much like the Pharisees of Jesus' day in that. They even added many extra biblical laws saying you have to do this and this, and then you will be justified. They would even say, yes, one needs Christ to a degree, but you also must do and follow all these laws. So that's one side of things, one problem in these churches in Galatia. On the other side of the spectrum, there was an antinomian problem too. Verse 13 points us to that. Verse 13 talks about some that were, well, Paul says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, implying that some were using this liberty, this freedom that they had in Christ now, for an occasion to go back to their old sins. So some Gentile converts went back to the guys or people they used to hang around with, and they joined back in the sins that they used to walk in, idolatry and the immorality that went along with that. And besides that, many were using their tongues however they felt like. So they're biting and devouring one another, as verse 15 implies. They feel like saying it, so they're going to say it. Threaten the very existence of the church, according to verse 15. There's a threat that they be consumed one of another with the way they're acting. And so Paul calls the Galatians in this chapter and in verse 16, our text, he says, walk in the Spirit. That's really the opposite of an antinomian walk, a walk where one walks according to the flesh, an immoral walk. Walking in the Spirit's the opposite of that, but walking in the Spirit's also opposite of a legalistic lifestyle, like the Judaizers wanted the people to live, or one's trying to earn righteousness. A walk in the Spirit is a proper, godly walk. It glorifies God. It really serves to the good of the others in the church, too, as you walk in the Spirit. So the Galatians clearly needed an admonition to walk in the Spirit, but so do we. We all need that admonition. We can easily fall into either ditch that we heard about. We can easily become legalistic, where we are making, where we're forgetting the Spirit, and we're making all, thinking all our rules will purge the church of worldliness. Or we can fall into this ditch on the other side where we're really doing what we please, even if that's sinful. Indulging in the pleasures of sin and bringing ourselves really back into bondage to those sins, thinking, well, Jesus Christ died for me. It doesn't really matter. There's no law. I follow no law. It's no big deal. Christ died for me. We know all that can go. either ditch. And so we need an admonition tonight to walk in the Spirit and know that Christ is pleased to work powerfully through the admonitions of in his word. The Spirit works powerfully through these admonitions, and may he do so tonight. May he truly bless the word unto our hearts. Let's consider the text under the theme, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, first the command, and second the struggle, third the victory. The command, the struggle, the victory. Now the main command in the text is walk in the Spirit. If we're going to understand that command, we have to know who the Spirit is. So that's where we begin. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God is three persons in one being. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is God. Now, the word Spirit in the original language Greek, it actually means breath or wind. And that tells us something about who the Spirit is. The Spirit is the breath of the living God. So the Spirit is life-giving. And the Spirit is powerful, powerful like the wind. You see that here. You saw that yesterday. You see that today. The Spirit is so, so powerful like the powerful wind we observe and feel here. In this text, which is written by Paul after Pentecost, the Spirit that's being talked about here is the Spirit that God sends forth through Jesus Christ. The triune God gave the Holy Spirit to the Son after he arose and ascended into heaven. We read about that in Acts 2, verse 33. Peter says concerning Christ, says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he, and that's Christ, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So the Holy Spirit is now often called the Spirit of Christ in the New Testament. Amazingly, we can lose sight of how amazing this is, but amazingly, the Holy Spirit lives in God's people. The Holy Spirit lives in believers. He lived in the people in the Galatian churches, and he lives in us and in our children. Astounding. That's why the Galatians believed. That's why we believe. We would not believe if not for the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 5 says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So we, through the Spirit, we hope. We, through the Spirit, we believe. If any do not believe in Jesus Christ for all their salvation from sin, look to him alone tonight for all of your salvation. And if you do believe, recognize it is only because the Spirit dwells in you and has worked in you to believe. The Spirit powerfully brings to us all the blessings of salvation. He is the life-giving Spirit, so he implants in us the life of Jesus Christ. That's regeneration. He implants in us who are dead by nature, dead in sin, the life of Jesus Christ. Implants in us that life, in us who are by nature chained to sin and bondage to it. He frees us. He implants that life in us and he converts us, turning us from sin and to him. Really, he does the work of daily conversion in us, daily turning us from sin and to him. He gives us faith so that we believe in Jesus for our salvation and know the gift of forgiveness. He is the Holy Spirit who works in us too, making us holy so that we want to serve the Lord and worship him even tonight. That's the work of the Spirit. His work is so powerful, powerful like the wind. But also it's so amazing that he lives in us, just little creatures. Think about that. We are finite creatures, just small little creatures on one part of planet Earth in a vast universe that God has made. The eternal, almighty creator God lives in us, tiny creatures. And besides even that, not just that we're small creatures, but sinners. We sinned in Adam, and really in that sin said we did not want friendship with the Lord. And then every day with each of our sins, we're really saying, I don't want you. Show hatred for him with our actions. And yet, God lives in us. He has come to live in us by his poured out Spirit. And that's, he lives in us based entirely on the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Of ourselves, we are guilty sinners, and the holy God cannot live in, cannot dwell with sinners in his sight. Can't. Holy God and sin cannot go together. So without Christ, cannot have the Spirit within us. Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. He's paid for sin. He's taken those sins away. And on that legal basis, the Holy Spirit then has the right to live within us. And he does. Praise be to God for that. He lives in me. He has given to me faith and desire to worship God in my life. What grace. Now that's the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16 talks about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, what does that mean? In the original language, walking in the Spirit literally means living by the Spirit. Living by the power of the Spirit. One's walk, that word in the text, important, walking in the Spirit. One's walk is one's whole life in the world. It is one's life at home, at school, at church, at play, at work. It's one's thoughts, words, and actions in every sphere of life. Walking in the Spirit means that one lives his life by the power of the Spirit. Or it could be understood in this way too, in the sphere of the Spirit's power. Let's break that down further. Walking in the Spirit first means that we are depending on the Spirit for guidance and strength. Walking in or by the Spirit means we are depending on the Spirit for guidance and strength. We're going to the Word because the Spirit speaks in the Word. 2 Peter 1 verse 21 says about the Scriptures, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So walking in the Spirit means that we are regularly reading the Word. And we are coming here to hear that Word proclaimed, the Word that the Spirit gives to us. That's, when we go to the Word, we're depending on the Spirit for guidance and strength. Walking in the Spirit means that we are daily praying for the Spirit's guidance and strength. That's depending on Him. When we go to Him, go to God in prayer, saying, Spirit, lead me in thy ways. Spirit, oh God, help me to understand by the power of the Spirit the Scriptures. Guide me. Strengthen me to follow them. Walking in the Spirit means then first, we are depending on the Spirit for guidance and strength. Second, walking in the Spirit means that one is following what the Spirit says in the Word. One who is walking in the Spirit believes what the Spirit says here. If one is unbelieving, one does not believe in Jesus Christ, one does not believe that this is the truth, that one is not walking in the Spirit, obviously. We believe in Jesus, whom the Spirit reveals in the Word as the only Savior from sin. That's a walk in the Spirit. One who is walking in the Spirit is believing and obeying what the Spirit says here in the Word. We're not walking in sin, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's the opposite of a walk in the Spirit. Look at the verse, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 16, That word lust there, and in other places in Scripture, refers to a strong desire. And here it's talking about a wrong, strong desire. And it's not just talking about sexual lusts that are wrong, that's included, but also a lust or desire for one's own glory. Verse 26 points to that. Or a lust or desire for wealth, for riches. The word fulfill in verse 16 means end. You bring something to its end or goal. So to fulfill the lust of the flesh has this idea. You're not suppressing, you're not denying those lusts, those wrong desires of the flesh, but instead you're going on in them, even bringing them to their fulfillment. Walking in the Spirit, though, is the opposite of that. Walking in the Spirit is rejecting these lusts that the Spirit says are wrong and doing what He says is right in the Word. That's verse 16. A walk in the Spirit is living step by step with what the Spirit says in the Word. And to see clearly, see further what's being emphasized in this passage, look at the context again. According to the context, walking in the Spirit means that one is living in love towards others in the church and unity in the church. Verses 13 through 15 say this. We'll go to the end of verse 13. It says, by love, serve one another. Verse 14, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And then verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. So when you follow the context, the idea is walking in the Spirit means that you are living in love and unity in the church, following how the Spirit says to live in the Word. You're not biting and devouring one another. You're living in love because the Spirit is love. God is love. You are not biting and devouring, but you're living in unity because the Spirit is called the Spirit of unity in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, or Ephesians 4, verse 3. You live with the other members of the church as one, worshiping as one, with one desire to give glory to God. And serving one another, too, in that way. Expressing unity, oneness by serving and helping each other. Walking in the Spirit. Living in dependence on the Spirit. And living step by step with what the Spirit says in the Word. But understand a few things about the command itself in this text. First, this is a command of God. A command for us here. It's not just for people out there. This is God's command to us. Walk in the Spirit. That means we, you and I, we have the calling this week to depend on the Spirit for guidance and strength. We have the calling to go to the Word, being in that Word each day. Coming here to hear that word proclaimed. That's our calling. Walk in the Spirit. We have a calling to be people of prayer who are praying regularly for the Spirit's guidance and strength. Be people of prayer. We have a calling to walk step by step with the Spirit and what He says in the Word. And that means you and I may not bite and devour one another. We may not even be indifferent to one another, just going about our lives, not caring about the other people in the church. I'm going to go here on Sunday, I'm going to sit here, and then I'm just going to go home. I'm going to have nothing to do with anyone else during the week, sit here, go home, and that's it. That's the extent of my involvement. No, walk in the Spirit's way of love and unity, being indifferent towards one another. That's not loving one another as verse 13 commands, as the Spirit says. That's not serving one another as verse 13 talks about. That's not a walk in the Spirit. So our calling is love and serve one another. Our calling is be unified. Show forth that unity by serving one another. Our calling is, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, bringing them to fruition, but walk in the Spirit's way. You can think maybe of sexual lust there. Think of the lust that you struggle with. Maybe it's for your own glory. Maybe it's for wealth. We all have different lusts, wrong desires that we have to fight against and walk in the Spirit's way. We bypass this command to walk in the Spirit, we will be walking in the way of our sinful flesh. We will be fulfilling our lusts. We will not be serving and loving our neighbor. We'll be thinking about me, myself, I. And those who ignore this command and continue on in the lust of the flesh, they show that they do not have the Holy Spirit living within them, and they are on the path to destruction in that way. So that's the first thing to notice about this command. It's a command of God. The second thing to notice is that God here demands that we walk in the Spirit continuously. This must be followed continuously. The verb walk in the original language here, it is in the present tense. And whenever a verb is in the present tense in the original language, that means continuous action. So the text could read, walk in the Spirit and continue walking in the Spirit. Don't just walk in the Spirit on Sunday. Walk in the Spirit every day of the week. Do not just walk in the Spirit when your parents and grandparents are around or somebody else. Walk in the Spirit continuously when you are by yourself and there's nobody else around. Walk in the Spirit when you are just with your friends or you're just with your family and you're talking about the things of the church. Walk in the Spirit always. Even when somebody's around or somebody needs to be helped that hasn't always been so kind to you, walk in the Spirit always. And last, regarding this command, it is directed to the entire church. Paul here is writing, according to chapter 1, to the saints in these churches in Galatia. He's not just writing to the elders, to the deacons, or to the ministers. He is writing to all the saints, all the believers there. Children too, young people as well. And thus this applies to all of us. This applies to you children, this applies to the young people too. Walk in the Spirit. Young people, it's not a time to just do what you want. Live in the pleasures of sin and think, well, I'll figure it out later. And parents, that cannot be what you think either. They'll figure it out later. Absolutely not. They're called, just like you, to walk in the Spirit. Help them do that. Help them do that by calling them to be involved and to serve in the church already. They may not feel like doing this or that event to help out. That's when you tell them, we have a calling to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be involved. We're going to love and serve one another. Verse 13, we're going to show forth the unity of the church by being involved. We are going to help. As you're probably thinking, walking in the Spirit is a very difficult calling. It's a great struggle. And that's because we each have flesh. The flesh that verse 17 talks about. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 17 indicates that we have the Spirit in us, and we have the flesh. First, again, as was pointed out in the first point, we have the Spirit, and the Spirit has created in us a new man. The Spirit has regenerated us, meaning, again, that he has implanted in us the life of Jesus Christ. And that life of Jesus Christ is sometimes called the new heart in Scripture, or called the new man in Ephesians 4, verse 24. The Galatians to whom Paul is writing, they had the new man. We believers, we have the new man. That's why we believe. That's why we want to be here today. We have that new man in us. And from the new man flows a desire to walk in the Spirit. The new man desires to live in dependence on the Spirit every day, being in the Word, being people of prayer, who are living in dependence on the Spirit constantly, even when they can't fold their hands and close their eyes, even then saying, Spirit, lead me. As I must make this decision or do this thing at work, Spirit, guide me that I may do this to thy name's honor and thy name's glory. Spirit, strengthen me. From the new man flows a desire to walk in the Spirit, walking step by step, following the commands of the Word, living in love and unity towards one another in the church, and living in purity, glorifying God. So we have the Spirit who has created the new man in us, and we also have the flesh, according to verse 17. And that word flesh in this verse, it refers to the sinful nature. That's what the word flesh refers to in many passages of God's Word. For instance, in Romans 7, verse 18, Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He's talking about the sinful nature. In it dwells no good thing. A man's nature is his body, soul, mind, will. And every man, including the Galatian believers and us, we have a sinful nature within us. That sinful nature has been passed down to us from Adam through our parents and to us. And it's been passed down to us because when Adam sinned, we sinned in the garden. And that's just consequence. Now, this sinful nature is totally polluted with sin. Totally. All that flows forth from my sinful nature is unbelief and sin. The sinful nature only desires what is best for self, is not interested in truly serving others, but just seeks really to do and say whatever pleases me. This from the sinful nature comes forth the lust of the flesh we talked about. Now, since we have the Spirit in us, who has created the new man in us, since we have the Spirit in us and the flesh, there's a great struggle then to walk in the Spirit. Verse 17 shows there's a war in us. It says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Consider those words and phrases closely. The word lust in verse 17, again, means strong desire. So the desire of the flesh is against the desire of the Spirit and the new man. The desire of the Spirit, the new man, is against the desire of the flesh. These desires, as the verse says, are contrary to one another. That means they're against each other. The new man desires to walk in the Spirit, depending on the Spirit, walking step by step with what the Spirit says in the Word. And the sinful nature, the old man, wants nothing to do with that. Doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to go to the Word, doesn't want to follow what this says. The sinful nature wants to do what pleases me, what I want. Wants nothing to do with the Word. And so we experience a real battle in us every single day, in real ways, from the moment we wake up. When we wake up in the morning, the new man desires prayer. The new man desires to go to the Word, depending on the Spirit for guidance and strength. And the old man says, don't have time for that. I got to get to this and I got to get to that. I got all these other things. No time for the word. It's a struggle. You kids, you know this war going on within you between the sinful nature and the new man. You experience it too. You're playing a game, for instance, and something doesn't go your way when you're playing that game. And the old man says, walk away. Walk away mad. Maybe even hit your brother or sister on the way past or say something nasty. You want to get them back. And the new man says, no, be kind. Even be encouraging to the one who's winning the game, even though you're not very, it's hard to do that. Be encouraging. We experience the struggle daily too when we're with one another. You can always, the old man, well, we hear others maybe talking about somebody else in church. And the old man says, join in on that. You know even more about it. So you talk about that and you talk about the things that they've done. And they've been nasty to you anyway. You talk all about what they've done. Old man says that and the new man says, stop that. Stop that conversation right then and there. Don't join in it. You know the struggle there is with that. There's something you can help with at church or at school, or help another person in the church somehow. And the old man says, well, that person didn't help you when you needed this or that. Or the old man says, you've done your turn. You've helped in so many different ways, so many times. It's time for somebody else to step up. And the new man says, no, serve. Serve in gratitude for Jesus Christ's service to you. Struggle, a war going on, and all those situations described. You can think of many more. Now, because of the conflict that we have within us, we sin. The old man, sinful nature, wins battles sometimes, wins individual battles. We choose to bite and devour. We hear them talking about somebody. We join in and we throw that person's name into the mud. We talk all about them, how bad they are. We choose not to express unity and selfishness, maybe because of something someone did to us in the past. We choose to give into the lusts because, well, we think it will be pleasurable. It'll feel good or it'll be fun. And there are times even when the flesh wins many individual battles in a row so that we walk in sin for a time. We know what that's about too. We've all experienced that. But there are also times where the new man wins individual battles, where we do depend upon the Spirit, going to the Word, going to God in prayer, seeking the guidance of the Spirit and His strength. We remember what Jesus Christ has done and we seek to serve fellow church members even when they haven't been so kind to us in the past or it's something that's not so fun for us. And we deny the lust of the flesh but seek purity, godly living. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The new man wins individual battles sometimes too. Verse 17 concludes by saying this, says, these are the contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Ye cannot do the things ye would. That's referring to this. Our new man's desire is to walk in constant dependence on the Spirit and to walk perfectly in step with the Spirit. But this perfection that our new man craves, it's impossible because we have the flesh. So we cannot do the things we would. That is, we cannot do what the new man craves, and that is constant, perfect obedience to the Lord. Every good work we do is corrupted by sin because we have that old man. And so often we don't even do the good works, but we do instead sin. So that's what it means when it says we cannot do the things we would. We cannot do that perfection the new man craves. Now, having that old man of sin within us, sinful nature, and having the new man, understanding that, we now understand the command of the text. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. And then verse 17 explains why we're called to do that. It gives us the reason for the calling. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You must be called to walk in the Spirit, and I must, because we are in a war and we easily fall into sin. That's the idea. Your sinful nature wants to bring you back into bondage to sin, in bondage to lust, in bondage to selfishness. And your sinful nature is always saying, that's the good way, that's the fun way. And we have to remember, and young people, the sooner that you learn this, the better. That way that the old man says is the good way, it's the way of misery. It truly is. One who's in bondage to lust and going back to that, that's misery. You can talk to anyone who's been addicted to things like pornography and the struggle and the heartache that there is with that. Going back into bondage to that is misery. The same thing is true for one who is just continuing on in bitterness, not serving in love in the church. I don't care because that person's done this or that to me. That's the way of misery. There's no joy, true joy in that way where you're just going to live on by yourself and be bitter towards everyone else. It's the way of misery. Today, tonight, going forward this week and on, walk in the Spirit. There will be temptations not to do so, but live in dependence on the Spirit, being in the Word and in prayer. There will be temptations not to walk step by step with what the Spirit says in the Word and serve one another and express unity, but do so. Do so to God's glory. There will be temptations to give in to the lust of the flesh. You think of the ones you struggle with, but walk in the Spirit. And in conclusion, know that the result of the struggle is this. The result is that the new man has the victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. The new man has the victory. The Spirit works in us now already to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is more powerful. He's more powerful than the lust of the flesh. How do we know that? Well, the Spirit is Almighty God. He's Almighty. Remember, He's God from the beginning of the sermon. He's God. He's Almighty then. He's more powerful than the flesh. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than the lust of the flesh. Wonderful. And Galatians 5, verse 16 also shows the power of the Spirit by saying that when we are in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when one is living in dependence upon the Spirit, he does not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit is so, so powerful. The one who he's depending on is so, so great. Galatians 5, verse 18 says about the church in Galatia, says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And the idea of verse 18 is that they are led of the Spirit. In the original language, if-then statements show us more than what the English does. And the literal idea is this: if ye be led of the Spirit, and ye are not under the law. So you believers, you are led by the Spirit. And that literally means you're moved by Him. You are ruled by Him and not by the flesh. Not by the sinful nature. You're ruled by the Spirit. You're led, verse 18, by Him. And by the Spirit's power.
one who rules in us. We do walk in the Spirit.
We're not perfect.
Absolutely not. We each have the sinful nature in us.
And we will as long as we live here on this earth. But the powerful, divine Spirit does work in us to walk in the Spirit, to live in dependence on Him, being in the Word and in prayer, and to walk step by step with what the Spirit says in the Word, and even to grow in that. And when we do fall, the Spirit, again, the Almighty Spirit, does not allow us to continue on in those sins and in unrepentance and not caring onto our destruction, but He leads us back to Himself and His ways. He brings us to sorrow over our sins, directs us to Jesus Christ, turns us from those sins, because He's the Almighty Spirit. What a comfort that is to know we have the Almighty Holy Spirit within our hearts. What a gift that is ours, that's all based on Jesus Christ's work at the cross. The Spirit's work and His power, it reminds us how foolish it is to be a legalist. Remember that Paul is writing here to the Galatians, and he's addressing the problem that there is with the Judaizers that are troubling the churches. They were legalists who remained under the law. That idea in verse 18, it's talking about them. They're under the law. The legalists thought that by making all these extra biblical rules, they could legislate holiness. But all the efforts of the Judaizers to legislate holiness didn't work. Didn't work because the sinful nature always finds a way around those man-made rules. Justifies what they're doing. We cannot make ourselves holy, and we cannot deny or suppress the lust of the flesh by following certain self-help books. Get over my lust problem with this or that thing. I can't get over that by following these steps that the self-help book gives me. We will only truly deny the lust of the flesh and walk in the Spirit to God's glory by the Spirit's power. Why is that? Because the Spirit points to Jesus Christ and gives us faith. Being pointed to Jesus Christ, we then hate the sin that He hates. We see His amazing grace and love, His work on the cross, and we want nothing to do with those sins that He hates. We don't want those lusts. We want to put them down, suppress them. So understand that. We all do struggle with certain lust of the flesh. Know that the answer to that problem is the Spirit who points us to Christ. So walk in the Spirit and be pointed to Jesus Christ and His work. That's the solution to the problem of the lust of the flesh. The Spirit leads us now to walk in Him, but know this, that He also gives us the ultimate victory by bringing us to the perfection of heaven. Remember that the Spirit is God, so His lusting against the flesh, as verse 17 talks about, it ends in complete victory because the Spirit is God. He wins. At death, He will abolish our sinful nature, and we will live in the place where there's no sin. But we perfectly walk in the Spirit always, forever. And the Spirit's victorious work we hear about tonight, understand it's so important for the church's existence and something to be so thankful for. So thankful for. Without or apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the church would be consumed. That's verse 15. We live such intertwined lives.
church, school, with each other so much. Apart from the Holy Spirit, something happens, and we would immediately start to bite and devour one another, as verse 15 talks about. So we go to our family or we go to our friend and talk about how this person did this to me, and we get them on our side, and soon it's us against them. And we're not going to meet with them, we're not going to talk with them, we're not going to work it out. I don't agree with them. And you see then how miserable of a place the church starts to be. You see then people they don't want anything to do with being here. They're going to leave. Over time, the church is consumed. We can all see how easily that can happen. But wonderfully, the Spirit is with us, the church. And the Spirit strengthens us to walk in Him, to live in unity and loving service. And in that way, there's great joy and great peace. And one day, when there is full victory, we will enjoy perfect life with one another. Always walking in the Spirit's way, never hurting each other. Perfect joy, perfect peace, always. What a day that will be. And that complete victory is ours because of Jesus Christ's work. The Spirit does have the complete victory, and we will enjoy that one day. Thanks be to God. So walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit now in gratitude. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we are thankful to Thee for Thy word, the admonitions that Thou dost give to us in that word. Lord, strengthen us to walk in the Spirit. Point us to Jesus Christ. Help us to walk step by step with the Spirit this week, living in love, expressing unity as a church to the glory of Thy name, who is the one who is the God of unity. Lord, lead us. We pray that Thou wilt forgive all of our failures. Turn us unto Thee. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.